Good morning. Good morning. The theme of today's service is our place in creation. And the first song we're going to start with is one that goes actually way back. This is the words of this, well, loosely based on Psalm 148, but it's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And it's "All creatures of our God and King." So let's stand and praise God in this ancient song that is very much about what we're about today. As I mentioned, our opening hymn, "All Creatures of Our God and King," was based on Psalm 148, which actually was the psalm for the lectionary today. We, in the Anglican Church, that this would have been today's psalm. So I haven't just chosen it because of my particular interest. But what we're going to do now is read the full version of Psalm 148. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of his faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord." We're now going to have a poem read to us, which I've dumped on Stefano at very short notice, and Emily, who are going to come and read this poem celebrating what God has made. This is a poem from the AROCA, which is an organization which aims to promote ecological awareness amongst churches. "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
Ants.
And anteaters.
Bees.
And bee orchids.
Cows.
And cow slips.
Dogs.
And dogwoods.
Elephants.
And elephant shrews.
Fires.
And fireflies.
Gold.
And goldfinches.
All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Hares.
And harebells.
Ibises.
And ibis bills.
Kangaroos.
And kangaroo rats.
Lobsters.
And lobster moths.
Mistletoe.
And mistle thrushes.
Nuts.
And nut hatches.
Oaks.
And oak beauties.
He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new.
Parrots.
And parrotfish.
Rainbows.
And rainbow trout.
Suns.
And sundews.
Sea.
And seahorses.
Stars.
And starfish.
Toads.
And toadstools.
Willows.
And willow warblers.
Yew.
And yew trees.
Zebras.
And zebra finches.
The Lamb says, I am the A and the Z, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is the verse that I'm going to be focusing on today, which is one of the great summaries of the law. What we need to do comes from Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Should we just pause and pray for a moment and before we carry on? Lord, we thank you for this world that you have made. We thank you that you do not leave us alone, but that you want to be part of us, part of our lives, part of this world. And we thank you for this verse in particular that encapsulates so much of what we need to do. I pray that you will help us as we try to understand it better this morning. In your name. Amen. I'm actually going to take this verse a bit in reverse order, because actually I think it sort of follows on more from that. So I'm going to begin with the last section of it, walk humbly before your God. In preparing this, I was reading through the papal encyclical on the environment, which Pope Francis issued about, I think it's about 3 or 4 years ago now, which is actually called Laudato Si. And if you translate that from the Latin, it means praise be. That's how it begins. And actually, I think that's a really good starting point from beginning to understand our sort of relationship, you know, with the environment. And it also informs our attitude towards it. It also echoes this idea of walking humbly before our God. If we're before our God in awe and in praise, that's a very good starting point for thinking about this verse. And so that's hence the first part of the service. It's about praise, thanking God for the absolute wonders of this world. And we've all seen things like the Blue Planet series, the utter beauty of this world. And we need to be humble before that. It's not something that is ours, not something that we made. And yet here we are, part of this incredible, incredible world. And a recurring theme of Laudato Si is that we need to see ourselves in relation to God, and God as creator of this world. Just thinking back to that sort of picture we had earlier, the flukes of the whale. I mean, I think that's a picture that I can't see those whale flukes going down into the thing without being moved by the sheer wonder of where we live. But we need to walk humbly in the light of that. And if we could bring up this little animation, this just gives us a little bit of a picture of where we are in the world. This is the scale of a human. And the slider down the bottom, which the guys at the back are going to take us through, is going to go through from the very smallest right up to the very biggest. So if we go down this way, we're getting things that are smaller. And I think what I want us to sort of think about with this one is just actually the intricacy, the amazingness of the world we are in. You know, it's easy just to get lost in the things that are at our scale, but the complexity, the beauty of the world at all sorts of levels is truly incredible. So if we go down, we get to smaller and smaller things. That's a square inch, a marble, and we've got a long, long way to go down. So we can flip through, we sort of just slide it down gently. So we've got down to ant, grain of rice. We keep on going down, and it's amazing how far you can go down. So if we keep going, width of a human hair, smallest thing visible to the naked eye. And now we're getting lower and lower, just keep on going. There's a bacteria there, E. coli, and we're still a long, long way off the bottom. Viruses, transistors, that's amazing, isn't it? We can make things that small. Now we're getting to the cell structure, bits of the DNA. Now bits of the bits of the DNA. Now we're getting down to atoms, water molecules, hydrogen atoms, and we've still got a long way to go. Keep on going down, there's a gamma rays, nuclei. Now we're down to atoms, the nucleuses. And now we get to stuff, theoretical physics, we're at this point. Up quarks and down quarks and strange quarks and quarks. Perhaps we should have put that in the tiny little me. Bottom quarks and top quarks. And now we're getting down to smaller and smaller things. I think that's about the smallest thing that they actually put on there as a top quark. And you have to ask a physicist what that is. Now we're going to go the other way. We're going to scroll back up this incredible world. Okay, we haven't even got to us yet. We're still getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There we go. Now there's us. Now let's go the other way. Up, Statue of Liberty, Boeing 747, size of redwood tree. You know, this is what really makes us humble. If we begin to think of the size of the universe, if we keep on going, we haven't even left the Earth yet. Getting bigger. We're getting into stars at this point. Probably white dwarfs and red giants and other things like that that I know about. Going to nebulas. We're just getting to galaxies, and there are billions of those. Hubble Deep Field is, I think, as far as we can see. And then that's what we can see, and then the estimated size of the universe. We really are tiny little me's in the scale of that. And yet, we have a God who's made all that and is still involved with us. If that's not humbling, I don't know what is. The flip side of that, though, is that on the world that we're on, we're actually quite big in terms of what we're now beginning to do. There's been a phrase coined called the Anthropocene. You know all the geological ages of time, the Jurassic, the Cretaceous, and things like that. These are periods in the Earth's history where there's been a change. You can tell that something happened there. There's a mark there. But where people now are saying what we're in is called the Anthropocene, because the effect of man on the Earth is so big that even if we go, it'll still be a mark on the Earth that we can see. We're about to possibly head into what's called the sixth mass extinction of creatures, and we're losing species at a rate that is hundreds per day. We are leaving a mark on this world. We need to start to walk more humbly, and that is at so many levels. And we hear about greenhouse gases a lot. We hear about biodiversity, but we're running out of water, of topsoil, with the effect of toxins and plastics. All these things are reaching their biological limits. And there's a little video which sort of sums this up a little bit, which I'd just like you to watch. I think that's the other side of walk humbly. Actually, it's our own interest to begin to walk more humbly, to actually live within the planetary boundaries that we've got. Growth can't go on forever. You know, whenever you hear about a politician or saying we must have economic growth, actually the only thing that in a person that grows forever is cancer. We're on a finite planet. We need to walk humbly with that in mind. We cannot carry on the way we are. And that leads me on really to the second, going backwards, phrase in the Micah passage, to love mercy. We saw there the effects that those melting ice caps, they're going to have an effect. They're going to come up and drown our world in many areas. But it isn't going to be even. If we look at just these two really important slides that I'd like people to look at, all the areas in red are the areas that are really producing all the CO2. That's leading to that melting of the ice. If you look at where it is, it's us, basically. You know, the northern countries where we're well-developed. We've got all the structures and things that are going on. The next slide, these are the areas that are going to get hit worst by this. And it's an almost mirror image. That all the areas that haven't produced the CO2, that haven't been responsible for where we are now, are the ones that are going to get hit hardest. We can think of places like Bangladesh, where sea level rise, a third of their country is going to go underwater. And we've had just recently, if you look at Madagascar and Mozambique, where they had those huge storms, much stronger than were previously the case. And there was the one recently in the Philippines. Those are the areas of the world are going to feel this. So as part of loving mercy is actually having mercy on our fellow human beings, quite apart from what we should be doing anyway in the light of such a beautiful world. And there's actually have set some goals about what we should be doing. It's called the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. We've got a little animation that just runs through, just to just give us a bit of a flavor of what a world, these are the things that we need to bring into being as loving mercy. So if we could just quickly flip through this, they're self-explanatory, and it just gives us an idea of the things that will be part of a good world. There's a lot to it. There's an awful lot of things to be done in all sorts of areas, and these things intermesh with each other. and really brings us on to the third part of that phrase, the acting justly. What's our response to this? Well, there are things we can do individually, and we'll think about that in a second. There's politics as well. That's a dangerous thing to get involved in. You end up getting elected. So what I'd like us to do now is just a little exercise, just to think about the ethical choices that we have made by the time we've cleaned our teeth in the morning. Okay, from the time you wake up to the time you've cleaned your teeth, think of the things you do. I'm assuming that you have breakfast, maybe have a shower, go to the bathroom, and then have cleaned your teeth. So on your chairs, there's pieces of paper there. You can perhaps have some pens. There are pens at the back if you haven't got one. Just have a think how many choices you've made, either consciously or unconsciously, by the time you've cleaned your teeth in the morning and are ready to walk out the door. Okay. Just count them as much as anything, if you like. Just quick mental exercise. But when people say, well, there's nothing I can do, well, actually, let's just see how much we can do in that sort of hour and a bit in the morning before we go out the door. Okay, I hope that's got you thinking a little bit. I thought about this. I reckon there were at least 30 to 40 different choices that you could have made by the, and there are probably many, many more. Okay. So I'm going to run through the list that I made, okay? And if you can sort of see how many of these you got, and if there are ones that I didn't get, then let me know. Okay, you wake up in the morning. You're lying on cotton sheets. Where do they come from? Were they made with child labor in Uzbekistan and sewed together in a Bangladeshi sweatshop? With how much water was used in the production of that cotton? How much pesticides was used? Your pajamas, most of the same things apply to all of those, or your nightdress, or whatever you happen to be wearing. The house, did the heating come on that morning? How was it heated? Was it fossil fuels? Did you choose to have it heated at all? Did you actually, snuggle under a thicker duvet? But where did the duvet come from? Was that the fossil fuels in a polypropylene one, or the animal welfare of a down one? Okay, you get up and go to the bathroom. That's how much water you use. You wash your hands. Where does palm oil and the soap come from? The destruction of the rainforest that goes with that. Or you maybe use shower gel instead, but that comes in plastic and has got a lot of water in that. There's a lot of weight in the transport of that. You got dressed. The same things apply with the cotton. But also, synthetic fibers, the microplastics that go with those, when you wash them, assuming they were clean clothes, these sort of synthetic things actually lead to a lot of microplastic in the environment. And again, going back to the factory conditions of the people who made those clothes. You come down for breakfast and you've got, say, toast, okay, the wheat production, was that the pesticide use in that? The plastic in the bread? The plastic around the bread, probably the plastic in the bread as well, given the way things are. You put something on it. Was it dairy? Okay, a butter. Okay, well, that's got its ethical implications with the amount of greenhouse gases that cows produce, the methane, and the inefficiencies of animal-based products. Or you used a spread, and that had palm oil in it, and had came in a plastic tub. It's a minefield, it really is. But the point I'm trying to make, really, is that at every step, we are making choices, and we can actually think about those choices. It can get a bit hard work sometimes. I mean, having gone about the fridge, the energy use of the fridge, the company ethics of the company that made it, whether the coffee was fair trade, your electricity source and heating, all of these things, and then round we go again. Was your toothbrush a plastic one? Esther? I've got at the front here a whole pile of the Ethical Consumer magazine, which I'll leave out. You can have a look. And there are a lot of these things. There is no right answer. If you step out of the frying pan of dairy into the fire of palm oil, you know, these are choices to be made, but they are choices to be thought about. And actually, I think this is all about acting justly. This is you know, in a way what that means. Did anyone come up with any others that I haven't mentioned? Makeup. I didn't think about makeup. I must admit, I didn't think about makeup. Mobile phones. Yeah. That's not something I've done before. I've cleaned my teeth, but. Medicine. Yeah. Yep. No, that's true. And also in that sort of, sense, things like the antibiotic use as well. Yeah. There's many, many more. Anne. That's, I mean, the first part of that thing of reduce, reuse, recycle is reduce, actually, and that often gets lost. But as I say, I'll leave those magazines out, and we'll have a look around those. I mean, there are other sources that you can get the things. There's a couple of websites and things here. This is the Earthbound Report. This is a blog by a Christian who blogs regularly about environmental things, and there's some fascinating stuff in here, some very angles. So if you do, you know, go on the web, I'd really recommend having a look about that. It used to be called Make Wealth History, which was linking back to the Jubilee campaign of a few years ago of making poverty history. He turned it, called it actually Make Wealth History, because actually thinking back to that those maps of the world, it's the wealth and the consumption that we have is actually a big part of the problem, and you know, these things all mesh together. So I'd really recommend that one. And then The Ethical Consumer actually has a website, and it's you have to subscribe to it, or it's a very useful source. But also I've got dozens of the copies of the print magazine as well, and that really does cover all sorts of things. And it's the information is out there. It is just a little bit more effort to do it. But as I say, it's part of acting justly. And finally, this is Christian Aid. We're actually, I think, at the end of Christian Aid Week this week. But one of the things they're promoting as part of what they are about, that need to focus on the world's poor, is about putting a zero greenhouse gas thing, because those gases are going to hit the poor first. And this is a lobby in Parliament in a few weeks' time. I think it's the 26th of June. It's that sort of thing that one can get involved with to begin to make the changes we need. But this can all get, in a way, a little bit heavy. And that's why going back to that papal encyclical, which is pretty heavy itself, actually, if you read through that. But we need to remember through that what the title of it is, Praise Be. This needs to be part of our worship, part of our praise. And it's not done with a heavy heart, with a feeling of obligation the whole time. Though it's very easy to end up bogged down in these things. It's done as part of our response to a wonderful creator and a savior who actually wants to be involved in this world. And so that's why I felt really our sort of final song ought to be something that actually captures that lightness, that praise of the God who loves us, who's made this incredible world, but wants us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. But we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. So this blessing also from Eroka OK. The power of God displayed in creation filled you with grace to serve God in his world. The peace of God, breathing in every living thing, enable you to spread God's peace wherever you go. The love of God, which fills the universe, flow through you that you might reflect his image, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Our final song is going to be Build Your Kingdom Here, which I think sums up also what we're all about.